I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion. Hey. Hey, hello. Hello. I'm making up for the pep that Evan says he doesn't have.
We're channeling everything.
Channeled.
We're channeled.
Yes.
We're processing. We're live.
Got it. Here, Fashion Hags podcast.
Evan's full of pep.
It's been a minute.
Hi, guys.
So we're out of practice, but we're still here.
Yes. Haglets, I'm going to be straight up.
Straight? That doesn't sound like you at all.
No, not at all.
You have had a glass and a half of wine.
I've
so
had
that
a
helps.
Glass and a half of wine, that's yes.
True. Shake some stuff two. Loose. And we haven't seen each other in a while. So
I know. It's been a minute.
Yeah, and I'm just here. Tired of a lot of things, but... I'm gonna have it on for the three in the room, but
there you go.
I hope you guys are just along for the ride at this
nice.
Point.
Nice. Oh, we'll get that pep out of you.
Yeah.
It's fine. And we have a guest.
We have
today.
A very exciting guest.
That will help Hi. Carry the load.
Yes.
Yes. Bring up the pep. I'm sure it won't be a problem. Yvonne, who do we have sitting next to you?
We have Jess Montgomery, a wonderful academic that I had the pleasure of meeting through Kat Sark, one of our previous guests.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a panel together at UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. Thank you very much. And it was wonderful. It was interesting. We had a great conversation. That was my first experience in like an academic conference and an academic panel in a university, like in being questioned by people who are lifelong
they just
academics.
Threw you right in the deep end. Then
oh,
they...
God, yeah.
What was the topic?
The topic was diversity in fashion.
All right.
Yeah. You don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I'm kind of...
You're on the fringes of that, I think, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Of course not.
You know.
That's your bag.
I have a couple intersections that may or may not intersect. And some experience as a white passing person in a white supremacist industry. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There has
so you got something
data
to say.
Has been collected.
Yes, and filed away.
But no master's degree, no bachelor's degree to think of, you know, and like... And I don't know, it was great, you know, and I feel like I brought my friend Jay Simpson, hopefully a potential guest in the future. We're trying to discover, a topic to discuss with Jay, because Jay is just a beacon of guidance and wonderment in my life. And I feel like Jay helped me hold that space as Indigenous queers who didn't experience a post-secondary education on unceded territories.
But are still being, making an intellectual
advancements. Yeah, making intellectual, and our experiences and being able to draw connection to oppression and the destruction of the planet.
Colonialism
and within the art that we practice mm-hmm. as queer Indigenous people and how we think about dress and how we think about fashion. And
is this what happened to your pep?
Exactly. You know, it's like there's just been a lot of bullshit basically
mm-hmm.
in there the world go. And it's not fun.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's just like this
real slog.
The white supremacists in this country have just come out in full force, and they're not only are they being propped up by a rise in white supremacy and outward white supremacy in the United States, but it's being propped up by the negligence on behalf of a government who hides behind a smokescreen.
I was going to say, and people being voted into
in
our government
yeah.
who hold the same beliefs and are now in positions of power.
Exactly.
I've had Americans say like, oh, I wish I was in Canada. I'm like, no, you don't.
No.
Because it's a real slippery slope.
But imagine this.
And it's real contagious as we're learning.
Imagine this being in the United States as a white passing Indigenous person, queer, in a room full of visibly racialized people in the United States and all of them begging and wishing and praying to immigrate to Canada and thinking that it's going to be anything different. And they think that Canada is this utopia, and it's such a fucking joke.
But
part of that is the like narrative that Canada tells about itself.
Oh God, yeah.
You know what I mean? That it's like, oh, like we're so kind, like, and it's because we have the states to like compare ourselves to,
mm-hmm.
and so it's like
it's all we've ever known.
Yeah, and it's like, well, we're less mm-hmm. bad, and then we turn that story into being like, well, it's because we're awesome and we're perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't learn thinking.
Just don't look in the closet, darling. Yeah. Don't look under the rug.
Yeah,
shit.
You know, and by rug I mean all of the wigs that our prime ministers. have been wearing for the last
seriously, how long?
You know, how long has it been since Confederation?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Justin's hair, okay?
Yeah. Wait, my bio just to get the real tea, because I'm gonna be making money off this story, bitch. But a lot of people need to die first.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway,
before we get a moment further, who the heck is Jess Montgomery?
Exactly.
What are you doing here?
Jess Montgomery. It's not about how these things are different. It's how they're related. We're not going to gut into a tangent if we're not going to follow the things that connect them.
I like it.
Well, let's get through the weeds.
Let's get through the weeds.
And Jess is going to help us do it.
Okay.
So who are you? What are you doing here?
I'm Jess Montgomery. I am the founder of an organization called Think the World Differently. Our focus is on raising awareness about the environmental impacts of the clothing industry, and then specifically my sort of pet focus is on the role that overconsumption plays in contributing to the negative impacts of the industry. So we primarily run educational workshops where we tell participants about the impacts, and then also sort of the importance of shopping less and then how to shop more mindfully. And then I also write, I write for Not Just a Label, and I speak on the topic as well. So
we're happy to have you.
Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
Yeah. And on Amazon Prime Day of all days, we have you here.
So well timed.
Yeah. This was not on purpose, but it worked out.
Oh boy. What a world. What a world. So you two, Evan and Jess, you guys met at this panel.
We met at this panel, yeah.
And obviously hit it off,
yeah,
which is excellent. Yeah. Tell us about...
basically begged to come and be here.
We love it.
That's the thing we love more.
Twist our rubber arm.
I know. So what was the thing that you guys connected on initially that started this conversation going? Put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Was it what one of you were talking about? Was it what someone else was talking about?
I think it was.
Did you hate the same person?
Was it someone wearing a beautiful dress?
No, I think it was that it was always brought back into context. I think that without homogenizing the fashion industry, there are huge systems in place that contribute to the detriment of the planet, and also the detriment of the people who work in the fashion industry on every fucking level.
Yeah.
You know, it's from production to shipment to everything. You know, it's all encompassing. And like, I think that's what I was interested in talking at the panel. And that's what Jessica kept bringing the conversation back to.
And it's interesting to think about how much it's not just the production and the shipment. It's everything that happens in that design process before, long before it even gets to that point. The designing of a pair of pants, for example, you go through a lot of fabric and a lot of back and forth and a lot of shipping and a lot of things before you actually get to the pair of pants that will be shipped to the store before they're shipped to you. Like, there's all of those steps that most of the decisions that are made about a garment's sustainability happen in the design stage, which of course never gets thought about or talked about because it's so hidden and behind the scenes, and why does it matter if you can just call Amazon and have whatever you need here in a day and a half at most, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and fashion is obviously incredibly guilty.
And it's really hard to, as a label or as a small company or even as a bigger company, if you are trying to be more transparent and more ethical and more sustainable, you still are part of that big machine and you still have to jump through the hoops that they put in front of you, right? Like, even the place I work, like, we've had feedback to, why is our stuff in plastic bags?
Yeah.
Why is each garment in a plastic bag? Because that's what wholesalers need.
Yeah.
Because that's the requirement that the stores have given us, and they give us a buttload of money and they help keep our business alive. So that's just what we have to give them. And if we're going to do some of them, we might as well do all of them.
Yeah.
Just for
so
our
factory will work with
the
you.
The factory will work with us because they're not going to
literally the entire of these production and, you line know, is,
whatever.
Yeah.
It has to be streamlined. So as much as we try to be on top of it and aware of these things, there's these bigger machines that we still have to, you know, work within.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating.
No, totally. And I feel like I think this is kind of what Evan is talking about, is I feel like that is like such the important like conversation to have. Like when we talk about things being like a systems issue, is it's like literally that's the system, right? And it's like it is so complicated. There's so many moving pieces. And so like, yes, making these little like incremental changes are like super important. But at the end of the day, we have to have this like bigger, honestly more radical conversation about like, okay, but what's putting this system into place and how are we all a part of this, right?
What are the motivators? Why is this happening?
Yeah,
exactly. Why is this in place? It's been done like this before. How can it be changed? Can it be changed? Do we need to be, like you said, super radical and upend the whole thing? Or are there ways to navigate within that you can, you know?
Yeah. It has to be a top down, but also a bottom up.
No, exactly.
Right? Yeah, there isn't both. It can't be one or the other.
Yeah. No. And this is a bigger picture than also just fashion, right?
Sure. Oh, this is society in general.
This is the thing now, right? Exactly. It's like you can recycle until you're blue in the face, but
it's not going to keep
passing. If they have huge tailing ponds at mines that are poisoning entire water systems, then great, you're going to recycle your Coke can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks. Please continue to do it.
Yeah.
Also, go frack a bunch of shit. That's fine. Fine. Totally unrelated.
No big deal.
Okay. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So what are some things that you do in your own life to sort of combat overconsumption and some steps that you take as we're talking on a small scale that are necessary, not just for you, but for everyone to do? What are some things that you do that that help, even if for nothing else, feel like you're helping?
For your own peace of mind. So you can sleep at night.
Yeah, right? That's like, I don't know, for me, that's like such a touchy question, because it is complicated, right? So
and so personal,
and it is personal,
and it's also within your capacities,
and it's so contingent on your specific circumstances in life. Totally. And we've talked about this before: the eco recipe, how you need to figure out
what you can do,
financially, emotionally, physically. You know,
no, 100%.
Yeah. So it's hard, and you really have to think about it,
and which is like. I mean, so like that's
people
step
don't want to think about things,
right?
They just want to do. People don't want to think.
You have to think about it a little bit.
Oh man, if we have ever in a point in history where you need to start thinking about stuff,
it's now. Yeah, it's like now. Yesterday.
Yeah, 20 years ago,
30.
Oh man.
But yeah, no, but like, so I don't shop a lot. But I mean, to be totally, like, upfront and honest, a lot of that is because, like, as an adult, I've spent a lot of my adult life under the poverty line. So I haven't had a lot of
money.
So I just didn't have money to spend on clothes, so I didn't buy clothes, right? And then you kind of get used to that. I buy a lot of vintage. I also just happen, like, I like vintage. I fit into vintage. It's part of, like, that's my aesthetic.
Those are two very important things about shopping vintage. You have to like it.
You have to like it.
And you have to fit.
And you have to fit into it. It doesn't.
And a lot of people
don't have that.
Are neither of those things or one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that, like, to kind of take it back
to that
personal
thing. You have vintage privilege?
I sure do.
I truly do.
Yeah, I do.
I used to, and then I stopped being a student, and I gained a bit of weight. And there we go.
I lost my privilege.
You weren't living on PB&Js and fucking Wonder Bars and a slice of pizza?
Popcorn and peanut butter and honey.
Yes. And maybe a bagel from Tim Hortons.
If I had a buck and a quarter, I would get a bagel. That is true.
Really living it up.
I'd rather have the fabric than the bagel at the time.
See? Yeah. Priorities. Right? Priorities.
What works for you?
Definitely. Yeah, it's tough because, like you say, it's a really personal kind of thing to say, like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But, and you're absolutely right. It is often a privileged thing to be able to shop sustainably.
Yeah.
It really is.
Because it's expensive. Like, those things are expensive. And, like, again,
unless you do a shitload of research,
it takes so much time. But, like, for, like, another personal anecdote, like, I've just picked up a day job. And at that day job, I have to wear all black. I don't have a lot of black in my wardrobe right now. And normally, if I was going to go shopping, like, I would make an effort to make it be vintage, consignment, or sustainable. But this is stuff I'm just going to wear to work, like, and it has to be, like, business casual.
Sure.
So it's, like, not stuff I would normally wear in my day-to-day life. Yeah. And so I've been kind of reduced to this thing of, like, well, I guess I'm going to Aritzia.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, so it's, I don't know, like, it's like, but I don't have the money. Like, I just don't have the money. And so for me, personally, like, that was such a good wake-up call of, like, that is a very real situation. Like, if you just need some clothes to wear for whatever, like, you don't necessarily have, like, $1,000 to go.
You're not going
to
drop $200 in a pair of pants.
No. Yeah. Hell no.
Yeah.
No.
Which is how the system is set up. If you want to make a product where your workers are making a fair wage, you're not killing the planet with the textiles and the processes that are used, and your packaging and all of these things and the way it's delivered to the customer is also eco-friendly, it costs a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It takes time and money.
And you have to charge accordingly.
And you're a business, so like you have to make some kind of a profit. Yeah.
You can't just like give away your product, obviously. Yeah. It's not a business that way.
Yeah. Or if you're shopping secondhand, that requires a lot of time.
Totally. Yeah.
It's not as cheap as it once was.
Yeah.
And you
there's no guarantees.
There's no guarantees. And you're also, who knows what...
You're at the mercy of what you're finding. It's just like...
Yeah.
Or the time you're able to give it to, right?
Yeah.
And often with secondhand, you're buying something that's been worn 200 times. So it's not going to last as long for you as going out and just
buying something better made that's expensive.
That's a little bit more expensive. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely felt that.
Yeah. No, it's like a rock and a hard place.
Totally.
Kind of thing.
It's really hard to negotiate.
Yeah. No, it is. And then like sort of my like final part of that answer is so I spent a lot of my life without having a lot of money. Now I have a bit more money. And like, guess what I want to spend my money on?
Clothes.
You know, like,
people who do these no shopping challenges,
yeah,
they're not for me. Just not for me.
No, exactly. And then that's
I need it.
That's
I like it.
No, and it's so important. Do I. So and do I.
And I can't do it.
And as far like for the like sustainability thing, like I love the idea of like sharing being a way of the future. Like I like love that. I'm like so in support of that. I'm not a like ideal candidate for that. Like I don't want to share my clothes. I am a collector.
Sure.
Like I like owning my clothes, you know, and I keep I like take care of them. I hold on to them. I like don't throw them out. But yeah, so like, so that's even not, like, super struggle with this idea of like, okay, like what is overconsumption? Like, how do you balance this, like knowing that we need to consume less with like literally like loving fashion and loving clothes and the fact that I'm never going to want to stop shopping.
You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah. So I have lots of questions, not a lot of answers.
This is the never answered, always pondered question of the fashion hags.
Yes, how do you do it?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about this too. It's another conundrum I've come across myself, is that I love shopping consignment, but I don't like vintage.
Oh,
it's
interesting.
It's an aesthetic thing. I don't fit in it now that I've had two kids.
Yeah.
My butt's too big. It's just not going to happen. My boobs are too big. It's not going to happen. But it's also, it's not an aesthetic for me.
Yeah.
So I've never, it's just never worked for me.
Yeah.
But I do like shopping consignment of contemporary clothes. And I go to these stores or I go to these big, you know, sale events or consignment, you know, whatever. And I get there and then I get all snobby and be like, this is Zara.
Yeah. I do that too.
I'm not buying secondhand H&M.
I do that too.
but I understand that that's an important part of this new
regenerating
cycle, right? Yeah. That you have to, and every once in a while, you find some of these fast fashion items that do last because there's a weird batch of fabric or construction that you do have something that will last.
Someone who works for H&M had a conscience and was like, no, I'm fighting for this fabric.
Yeah, exactly.
Or,
you know, when you have a pair of pants that will last you more than 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Those are few
and
far between.
And sometimes it's super cute. Like, sometimes I'll look at something and be like, that is so cute. And then look at the tag and be like,
oh, no.
And you touch it.
So I'm
really
$100
on it. And then you touch it.
I'm really conflicted because I'm happy that those items aren't just getting thrown away, but I will never buy that album.
Yeah.
That item.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not the person for that. So then I try to make myself feel better being like, someone else will take this and not just get shipped to Africa and put in a dump.
Yeah.
I've just set really specific like rules for myself when I'm buying stuff, because like you, I for a really long time did not have enough money to spend on nice clothes.
You
like I just straight up didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember having to buy a new pair of shoes in my first year of school because my Converse All-Stars didn't hold up to the rain very well in Vancouver.
Oh, weird.
And I think I spent $90
That was a
on
big
a pair
chunk
of Kodiak,
yeah.
Warm, like survival. Yeah. Like this was a basic mm-hmm. need that would was
need
being
to
filled.
Protect your feet.
And I agonized over.
You probably felt like
$90.
So gutted about it. Too,
I was like,
right?
Okay, I guess you know maybe I won't be able to whatever it was I had to sacrifice. It was like at a certain point it obviously became worth it because yeah. I'm freezing cold all day. My feet are freezing, and it's literally. Killing me.
It's
this
ruining thing. Your life.
This is bad. This is a bad thing that's happening. So, like, you know, no Netflix, you know, like yeah. whatever it was.
You don't
like,
take a trip yeah. home because you can't afford the gas
whatever
it
is.
Right?
Yeah. yeah. So I remember that one, that specific example, like really clearly, like, I guess I just have to spend this money and that
yeah.
is what it is. And that's probably the only pair of shoes I bought in maybe a year and a half.
Yeah.
Sure.
Probably.
And you did it smart. You bought a pair that was versatile and useful and, yeah. you know.
But I have to set really.
Your aesthetic.
Yeah.
And
really specific
you're
rules
happy to put
now.
Them on.
Yeah. yeah. Because now I have a little bit more money. I still don't like buying lots of things because mm-hmm. I don't like creating a demand for something frivolous.
Yeah.
I will never be the person who goes to the dollar store to get like the cute napkins for the cocktail party. That will never be me. I'm never comfortable with it. I don't need it. I will go and buy 2 meters of cloth and make cloth napkins.
yes. And wash them and yeah. yeah.
And wash them and yeah. have them for
and press
15
them
years.
And whatever, yeah.
yeah.
Rather than spend $2.
Mm-hmm.
I
and
just
have something to throw away.
It's yeah. as much about a thing you throw away as creating a demand for garbage
yeah,
that I
yeah.
just can't.
Yeah.
And that's a thing that I've learned through these conversations I've had with the Hags, but also through school and through just learning more about the systems and how fucked they are and how much waste there is and all of the things, all of the worst things. Now I know a little bit about yeah. them, so I'm trying to curb that.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. yeah.
And so I have to be really specific about... Oh, I really like that shirt. It's really cute.
Yeah.
Will I wear it? Will I wear it 3 times a month? Do I already have one that I either
that
needs to be replaced
yeah.
or it's
yeah.
filling a void?
Yeah. yeah.
And like maybe one every like 6 months is like, I really like it. I'm just going to get it.
Yeah. yeah.
You've been thinking about it for 2 months straight.
Yeah.
And you're
yeah.
just going to pony
gonna
up
get it.
And,
yeah. yeah. No, I do like really similar things. Like I don't impulse buy. So if I find something, even if I like love it, I'll wait at least 24 hours. And there definitely have been times where I've like fully forgotten.
Totally.
And obviously I didn't.
But then there's other ones when you're there at 10:01
no,
the next day.
All I do is like lie in bed at night and be like, I'd style it this way, I'd style it that way.
Those pants. Oh my God, there's a birthday party next week.
Yeah.
You look great with that necklace.
Yeah. No, exactly. Like uh-huh. that's a keeper.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like I have a wedding coming up in October. Or in November in Costa Rica that I'm going to. Got to book those flights still. And I needed a nice dress. And so I found one. I asked 15 people about it. It's a nice fabric.
You thought
it's
about it.
I know and yeah. I trust. And I spent probably a week like, do I need to spend money on this?
You want to try it on.
Wear it again?
You slept on it.
Tried it on. Yeah. Looked at all the pictures. And it's like, yeah, it's a little bit more than I maybe would have spent just on a whim.
Yeah.
But it hits all of my like really specific parameters that I have had to put in place.
Yeah.
So I don't
to
go crazy.
It in. Absolutely.
Yeah. And now I feel like it's a thing I know I'll really love because I've spent a bunch of time thinking about it.
Yeah.
I better fucking love it. And it's a company that I trust that will
last. Yeah, you've done your research,
time.
Right?
Yeah. They've, yeah.
And if I didn't like set those things in place. And like really
it's too easy.
Hold my willpower to it.
It's too easy.
Yeah.
It's so easy. And I don't even have kids or a dog or like I am just shopping for me and my husband sometimes. Like I don't have kids to worry about.
Sure.
I'm in a total place of privilege.
Yeah.
In terms of the kinds of things that I am required to buy.
Yeah.
I can kind of do what I want.
Yeah. yeah.
So I recognize that, you know, you can't just... You know, set those kind. Not everyone can set those
it
kinds
has
of limits.
That opportunity,
right? It's
yeah.
impossible.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't
yeah.
set. Like, sorry, Margo, you only have one pair of pants this year.
yeah. Don't drive
no,
them.
No summer activities for you.
Yeah. yeah. No, not quite.
Yeah, and I am so guilty of overconsumption for so long. I discovered H&M at 15 and didn't look back for 15 years. And just went fucking ham on fast fashion for so long because I loved it and
yeah.
I love trends and I loved staying up on things, and I love the act of shopping. I love going to the stores. Like, I love everything about it. And I just went crazy.
Yeah.
And then I got older and smarter and better informed, and same thing, like mortgage, kids, you know, this sort of thing. My mental health, too, knowing these things and trying to figure out what that looks like for me. And I definitely shop more than a lot of people do. And I can definitely shop less, which I struggle with every day. And I just put my computer down. I'm like, don't look at that website.
Unsubscribe. Unsubscribe. Yeah.
Get off the mailing list.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, oh, just stop looking at these shoes you're going to wear twice a year.
But there's like a really real pleasure in shopping. And like even what you do, and I do the same thing. Like, I'm like very like,
see, I'm trying to find the pleasure in that, in the hunt. And yeah, just the catch.
But even the, like what you're talking about, like that's a like real pleasure. Yes. You know what I mean?
And
that's
planning, like, the stores, yeah, going to the stores, yeah, walking around, getting a coffee, going to the other store.
And that's like part of the gift.
But also like, but also the critique. It's like, oh, what's going on in that store? Let's go see.
Oh, what can we judge today?
Yeah. Oh, I never buy something from this store. But I will look at every item.
You're right.
Look at
every rack for hours. Oh,
okay. Scroll through their website.
Message Evan and Katie about it later.
Did you see this? Oh. No, we're also guilty of that for sure.
That's a real pleasure, too.
Yes. Of course. But I'm trying to find the pleasures in those sorts, yeah, of things. Yeah. Sometimes it's being a catty bitch and making Instagram stories, making fun of things, but
you do what you gotta
I gotta
do.
Hey man, I gotta do it. Oh man, yeah, it's real.
We went through the torture of fashion school. We're allowed that. It's a right.
Sure, I'm exercising my creative muscles. Yes. Okay, because before you know what you
we
like,
can be
you
critical of the like industry that we work in.
Yes, that is, you know, 100% subjective.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, I think it's honest. It's like, it's a muscle for me that I feel like I need to use, like forming opinions. This is a yes. This is a no. If this were different, maybe I'd do it. Whatever. If they change this or that, I would go for it.
Yeah.
I try to find the joy in that part of it, and not the buying part of it, and the making companies make things for me to then buy.
Yeah.
I was just reading about how H&M has $4 billion worth of unsold merchandise that they're sitting on right now.
That's a gross.
Yeah.
That's gross.
It's obscene.
Especially when you consider that their shit sells for like $5.
Yeah.
It's a mass amount of product and a mass amount.
$5 billion worth of unsold merchandise. I just read that last week.
Hundreds of thousands of units of hundreds of thousands of styles.
Yeah.
You were H&M.
You saw how often they
didn't want.
Yeah.
Well, thousands of people didn't want, but also thousands, maybe not thousands, hundreds of people helped made. Like, yeah, they were in a factory for shit that's, like, that's the thing that kills me is, like, you are creating a demand for shit that will never sell for people who are probably underpaid.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what, although H&M is doing better, I'll give them that credit. But just in general, H&M is not the only one guilty of this.
In comparison, unfortunately.
In comparison to Zara and their competitors.
Yes. Yeah.
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 And Walmart.
And the past, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Random Target and shit from like Amazon.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Walmart, for that matter.
Yeah, fucking Walmart. But it's really hard because I was reading that this one lady I'm obsessed with now, Aja Barber, who's just a wonderful resource for these sorts of things. And she was talking about how there was this one, I'm totally spacing on the name of the brand, but they did a collaboration with somebody and it sold out and people were pissed. And she's like, shouldn't that be the ideal for your businesses, yeah, that you sell out and that you have to make something new and different?
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be the goal for creative fashion businesses, that you just need to make new stuff? And maybe you do a restock, but maybe you don't. And then you can drive sales that way, you know, with a variety of things as opposed to a bulk of things, which is how Inditex, Zara, and H&M and all these big fast fashion brands work, because they just do pure volume and they price it in a way that if they have $4 billion worth of, I mean, it's not working out for H&M now because they're having to really restructure.
They shut down a bunch of stores.
Yeah, they're having to restructure financially and physically in the world because they've, that's not really working out for them. But
that's what needs to happen.
Or the 52 seasons a year.
Yeah, but that's pretty insane.
You like Zara? Not
every day, every week.
Yeah. And how...
A different story every week. Yeah. In the store. Yes. I worked in these stores. I know.
I was going to say, you were the one switching out the rails and stuff when packing, unpacking stuff and repacking. Not at that time,
baby. I was restock. I restocked. I was part of like a militia of restockers. Yes. Oh my God. There was a code of how to restock that store.
I bet.
So no one could know what you're talking about.
And you're always moving shit around, playing, you know, look at this hand, but oh, this hand over here, right? Like, watch the mouth, don't watch the hands.
Yeah.
So, but the good thing is about like H&M having these issues now is like, oh, people are starting to notice that shit don't fly anymore. Yeah. Or it's starting to not fly.
People aren't to stand in a line for half an hour to spend $200 on like
a piece of shit.
You know,
a piece of polyester shit.
50 items.
Yeah.
But people need to, again, we've said this a million times, and this is part of your whole thing, is like people just need to do better. Yeah. Like just need to be better at making those decisions and evaluating what is important, what's worth
seeing the problems and the current decisions and the effects of those decisions, and then changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
do you really need this thing?
Yeah. The H&M debacle is proof that system worked for a small period of time, but then once the customer became educated and once they started educating their own customer, it started cutting away at their foundation.
It was dependent on people not understanding
what was going on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
because human beings are compassionate by nature.
Before Rana Plaza, what were we doing? What were we thinking? What were we knowing?
Yeah.
A very limited amount of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Rana Plaza opened it up in 2012 or 13, whenever it happened.
And then that's when all like the scholarships started happening within universities and
fashion journalism.
Fashion journalism stepped up.
Yeah. It totally did. Yeah.
It wasn't just puff pieces and interviews about inspiration.
Exactly. I have about a 3-foot stack of Teen Vogue my childhood.
Heads up to Teen Vogue. Heads up to Business of Fashion, who is doing excellent work. If you are not subscribed to the Business of Fashion emails, you need to get on them because they are amazing.
There was some bullshit on Business of Fashion. Like maybe last week, they give a platform to someone who is vaguely white supremacist, and it was weird.
They're not perfect. Yeah, getting there.
It was a director. It wasn't Gus Van Sant, but the other one. They're white, gay, young. He was younger than Gus Van Sant. Anyway, tangent.
But I've been raised an eyebrow.
The difference between like the articles that I read in Teen Vogue when I then this is
wasn't there
this
thing? Was like, it's like if you wear the if like you wear the wrong lipstick, ago. Nick Jonas thinks you're an asshole.
Exactly, and now it's the rise
of white supremacism in the Southern states. Like, yeah, there's this and tweet going on about that.
It's like, how can we use Marxism to change the world? literally.
Amazing.
Like literally, this is what people are writing about for Teen Vogue, you know, and it's just like they're having very articulate and intelligent conversations about race and how that contributes to society. And they're also
including fashion, which is built on the backs of people of color.
Yes. Yeah.
Who are underpaid and oppressed.
Yeah.
All over the globe.
And it's part of a continuum. It's part of
peekaboo shoulder
a historical
blouse.
Continuum. Yeah. Fuck.
Oh, man.
So tell us about launching this site and this project that you've got going on, and where that came, like, where did your frustrations finally get to the point where you're like, fuck this, I'm going to do something about it. Tell us about that.
So I wrote my master's degree. My background is in art history and the arts. I've worked in art galleries. And I did my master's in art history, but I happened to work or to go to school where my advisor was a fashion historian.
Oh, cool.
And nice.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
Dream come
and
true.
And so at that time, like, I was actually kind of thinking that maybe I wanted to pursue a, like, academic career, and I was, like, kind of thinking I wanted to go into fashion history. Anyway, so I decided I wanted, despite the fact that it was, like, super poo-pooed and, like, not super popular, I decided I was going to write my thesis on fashion. And she was...
Because it's just frivolous nonsense.
It's
not art.
It's not
or
art.
Or history.
It's not,
Or a framework from which you can view history.
Precisely.
Yeah. A lens where you can see the entirety of human existence.
Yeah.
And it's just
interpersonal
and
dynamics.
Politics.
And global politics and financial systems.
It's fine. Everything that is happening right now. You know, like everything important is happening right now. Yeah. No. It's just silly.
It's just pretty.
Yeah. It's just pretty stuff. Anyway, so this advisor basically was like the first person that kind of was like, hey, have you like ever thought about like the backside of fashion? Which I hadn't. And I'm a pretty environmentally minded person. Like, I grew up on Vancouver Island. Like, my
family. That gives you cred right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Just that alone.
Home of the Green Party.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Grew up in a forest. Like, yeah, I've got very, like, hippie roots. And I just, like, literally had never thought about that, like, side of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, really opened my eyes. I ended up writing my thesis on, like, sustainability issues in fashion, like, basically the relationship between sustainability and, like, access and, like... and it felt, like, really, like, super empowering. Like, it was this moment where I was like, oh, my God, like, I've, like, found my truth. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. But I, like, couldn't figure out how to turn that into a job. So...
Oh, yeah. Sounds about right.
Oh,
right?
Academia.
Yeah. And this was, like, I mean, all of 5 years ago. But at that point, people really weren't even starting to talk about sustainable fashion in the way that we are now.
Mm-hmm.
So I graduated. I went back to working in the arts. I got this, like, amazing job as being paid, like, a pretty sick salary. I was, like, running a section of a gallery. And, like, a few months in, I just was like, this, like, I can't do this. Like, I can't do this. Like, and, like, I love art. Like, I could go on for hours talking about, like, the importance of art. But it just, like, all I was, like, hearing in my day-to-day life was, like, you know, the impacts of climate change. And it didn't feel like anyone was talking about it in a way, like, in a really, like, significant way. So I quit that job and I got a, like, a part-time job, and I literally spent a year, like, just, like, thinking and just, like, reading, like, everything I could get my hands on. And that was sort of the moment where it became really clear to me that I'm like, these are, like, systems level issues, you know, like, it's so, so complex.
It's so deep and it's so pervasive.
It's so deep and it's so pervasive and just like, it's like deep. And the thing that I kind of kept coming back to is, A, there's not a lot of room for consumers. And I don't like using the word consumers because I feel like words are really powerful, and I don't like us thinking of ourselves like we're people, right? We're not consumers, we're people. But there isn't a lot of room for individuals to have a voice and have an impact. And even in, like, really amazing organizations like Fashion Revolution, you know, it's like, oh, like, send a message to a company, which is cool. And I think, like, that's important. It's important to have a voice. But, like, if you're someone that really cares, like, that doesn't feel like you're really doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like that was sort of a missing space. And then the thing that I kind of kept coming back to, and this sort of takes our conversation full circle, is I kept coming back to this idea of values, which is sort of to say that, like, yes, this is an issue in fashion, but it's not an issue just, like, this is...
Just within the industry itself.
Yeah, it's, like, it's a social issue. Like,
or just to clothing specifically.
Yeah, like, this isn't, like, not to get, like, super deep, but this is, like, a political, like, humanity kind of issue, right? Like, what are our values?
Yeah.
You know, what do we value? Do we value stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we value our planet? And do we value
each
other?
Other?
And the continuum of the human species.
Yeah.
When you get down to it.
Yeah. And, like, and
all the other species on the planet.
And this idea that we're connected, right? Like, we are of the earth. We are dependent upon the earth. We are not lords of the earth. We're not lords of the other species. And, you know, I talk about this and people are like, well, like, what does that have to do with fashion? You know, and I understand that that can feel like a disconnect, but it has to, like, if we're going to solve these issues.
If you look closely enough, those lines are there.
We have to take it back to this level of...
The root.
The root. And the root is that we are not separate from the earth. And so everything needs to come out of that. And part of
everything... And money isn't God.
And money is not God.
Yeah.
And fashion... The fashion industry, the clothing industry needs to be a part of that. But not only that, is that fashion is this, like, amazing, like, personal, individualistic, like, creative force.
Mm-hmm.
And so why can't it be this tool to help us imagine what, like, a more positive, inclusive, diverse, like, earth-honoring,
sustainable, ethical
world could look like, right? Like...
Yeah.
like actually yeah. literally like in how we like present
yeah.
ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know? Yeah, like aesthetically.
Yeah.
And I think fashion gets a lot of pushback because these people who they look down upon it because they can understand how powerful it can be.
Yeah.
How something
and they want to suppress it.
Yeah.
How something so under the wire can come under the wire and inform you in a way that a speech or a broadcast or a politician
or a book or anything or another conversation
could ever inform you.
Yeah.
You know, it sneaks up on you and it changes you in ways that art changes you in ways that I don't know. That being told something can't, or learning something, or sitting in a classroom, or being lectured to, you know,
and realizing that you do have a role in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That you do have. You are a very tiny, tiny cog in a machine, but
you're still cog.
You're still in there, and so is everyone else.
Yeah. You're still a cog, and you're still making decisions for yourself within that machine, which is where everyone's power lies.
You're also making decisions for other people.
Yeah.
I am buying this fucking Walmart dress.
No.
Which means that choice I am making means human trafficking in Cambodia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a long line.
But it's still connected.
It is still connected. And unfortunately, again, with the imbalance is so fucked up. I've had this discussion today specifically related to fashion. I moderate a fashion group on Facebook for moms. And the whole point of the group is just to help each other shop and help each other feel good and empowered and like a self.
Nice.
That is the first thing that goes when you have kids. Yeah, you are no longer your own person.
No, you're
That's
mom.
It. You are somebody's mom.
You're a mom.
And
you're not a regular mom.
No, you're a cool mom. Oh my God, Tan France and mom jeans. Did you all see Tan France and mom jeans?
No, not yet.
Amy Poehler and Tina Fey put Tan France in mom jeans. Oh no, Rachel Dratch.
Rachel Dratch.
That's who it was. Yeah. Oh God, it was amazing.
I saw the clip, but I didn't click on the link.
I watched it yet, but I saw it. It made me lol real hard. But so the whole point of this Facebook group is to help each other shop and help the using fashion as a tool for mental health, for self-esteem, for body dysmorphia, whatever. All these things are all connected, right?
Yeah.
And we're just helping, like there's 18 posts today, but from change rooms. Do I get this? Do I get that? How would I wear this? How would I wear that? And it's super supportive. And
That's amazing.
And the mandate of the group is very specific. And there was a post today about Amazon Prime Day. And it was just like, post your Prime deals here so we can all share like the cute bathing suits or the whatever, the deal on Levi's or whatever. And then someone, rightly so, pointed out and said, hey, do you need to make a post about how this is terrible?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And me and the other moderator were like, well, if you're on Facebook, you probably know about it.
I don't know if that's true.
But then someone pointed out that in another group that might not be the case.
Yeah.
But we are at a point now where people need those Prime deals. They really do. Especially, I don't know how many times I hear on these Facebook groups, like, I have not bought myself a piece of clothing in 5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes days like Black Friday and Amazon Prime Day are days where that is the day for them to get 5 years worth of clothes or all new underwear or whatever.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we're at a point with income disparities and wage gaps and all that lovely stuff where these things are still needed, even though they are not wanted.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a very precarious balance between, and then also I'm like, I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money. I'm a grown up. You're a grown up. I can't. I don't know your life. Bitch, I don't know your life.
Yeah.
So as much as I feel conflicted every time someone puts a Walmart link up, hey, I need a new pair of leggings. Oh, check these ones out from Walmart. Makes me throw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I can't tell you to spend $25 on a better pair of leggings when you
literally
don't,
do not have.
You those. Have $7.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's so frustrating. And it makes me just think of how big the problem is.
Yeah.
And how little we are.
I used to always
have. So these sorts of things are very helpful and very, like you said, very hopeful. You can get really down on it and you can get really doom and gloom about it. And you can, you know, you gotta try to flip that narrative a little bit. And it sounds like that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to empower people and inform people and, you know, kind of grassroots, right?
Yeah.
But for fashion.
Yeah.
And knowing that.
I don't think of grassroots in fashion stuff.
No.
You don't hear about it a lot.
So
that you're that you have buying power as like an individual. Even if you don't have a lot of money, you still have buying power.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I was like hinting at before when I was saying like with every purchase that I try and make or not make, I think of it as creating a demand for it.
Yeah.
So am I creating a demand for a pair of $7 leggings at Walmart? Probably not. If I'm going to create a demand for someone, I'd rather it be a small company that could use that money way more in a way more productive way than into some shareholder's pocket kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if you kind of like, I found that tool in my head has been really useful.
Yeah.
To
it's a good
consume
way
to less. Yeah. Spin it for yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like
one
you,
of,
yeah. You just, it's a check that you have to sort of in your
go
head.
Your, your own personal. Yeah. Like one. So one of the things that I kind of like think about a lot is like, so, you know, 100 years ago, a little less than 100 years ago, right? Like there are lots of people that didn't have a lot of money and they would save up. And then they would buy something. They didn't have a lot of clothes, but they would save up. They would buy something that was like super high quality. And then they just wouldn't have, you know, you'd like rotate out your like 3 outfits.
Yeah.
Which on the one hand, like that's not totally what our lives look like right now. And I think that it like it's important to sort of like, you know, like check your own privilege. And, you know, like literally there's so many people that like, with income disparity, like you were talking about, that just like don't like if you have like you just don't have extra money, you don't even have extra like an extra 50 cents to save up, right? But there's so many of us that are, you know, middle income or
if it's within your capacity to like, change the way you shop, then you should
then you
carry
should.
More of that load
and some of
and
that
I'm trying to be that
exactly. And some of that can be buying less, saving up,
buying better,
you know, like there's a lot of us that can make those choices. Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the things that are outside of the control of the individual consumer.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the greediness and the evilness that happens in these boardrooms and happens in
that
these decisions that no one knows about.
Yeah. These huge trade and agreements.
Exactly.
The fact that no one, that Amazon pays $0 in tax in the States or I don't know, anywhere else. You know,
that's
like
what kills me about Amazon.
You know, like all these things that I don't know how to fix that.
Yeah.
I don't like, because it's not even politicians. You're like, well, I can vote and I can make sure that these people
but
don't
that's
get,
not,
but
yeah.
that's, I can't vote but for the president of Zara.
Yeah. yeah.
I can't vote for the CEO of H&M. Like
I cannot buy from him.
Yeah.
That's your vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your vote.
No,
and unfortunately, there's not enough
to,
people doing that yet.
And there's not, there's not enough
and
people who
the,
can
that's
do
where
that
the disconnect
because
is
they don't have enough money. Some people need Walmart to survive. I know these people.
Yeah.
yeah.
This
absolutely.
Was my life. This
yeah.
was my life. You know,
yeah.
like if you don't shop at Walmart, then
that's it.
You don't shop.
You don't, yeah. yeah. You don't have
there's
anything.
Nowhere else to go.
You're yeah. wearing hand-me-downs from my
yeah.
weird cousins.
But, or and then there's that other thing. It's just like you need to maintain a certain, like if you're upwardly mobile and you want to improve yourself in life, you need to maintain a certain, there needs to be a certain shell and there needs to be a certain way you conduct yourself and this way you present yourself to be taken seriously in spaces
yeah.
that you
but
don't
to,
have
and
access
to gain those
to.
Goals that you've
exactly.
set for yourself
yeah.
right
yeah.
yeah you know it was like oh god the lessons that were learned in that first year of fashion school bitch you know like
oh,
dark
man.
And deep
dark and
no and like that's a real thing too right is it's
yeah.
like I mean I like fully acknowledge that I lean more on like the radical side of things but there's a time and a place for that. I'm also super ambitious
mm-hmm.
you know and it's like that like so that's a negotiation that
yeah,
I like
to consolidate those two things
yeah,
right?
yeah
yeah
and you know sometimes I lean more towards the radical side and
yeah.
sometimes like you wrap that shit up.
You got to put a blazer on.
Yeah. yeah.
I don't like
no, go to a meeting.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
But ambition isn't like inherently evil. Like
no,
greed
not
is.
At all.
You know, ambition has done so many beautiful things for this planet.
Yeah.
Or for the society, like the world in general. But
and separating ambition and greed.
Exactly.
A lot of it's synonymous.
People mistake it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be.
Or people can be greedy out into the world and do evil things and write it off as ambition, mostly white men.
Yeah.
You know,
funny how that works.
I'm an ambitious man, and I made a beautiful company, and blah blah blah, named Jeff Bezos. You know, just like, come on.
I think that's really an
you know what I mean.
No, I think that's really. I'm glad you sort of pointed that out. That you can separate that greed and ambition are not the same.
Are not
thing.
The same thing.
I think that's really important.
They can be independent of each other.
Like you say before, like words matter, and clearly this is an example of ambition edging its definition more towards a thing of evil.
Mm. Because success is linked to financial success.
Exactly.
Yes. If you are not financially successful, you're worthless.
Yeah.
You are not anything important. I don't need to listen to you.
As opposed to success being like a good person.
Yeah, a good person. Of course,
values and other morals we have.
And we're coming back to value.
Oh, there you go.
Do be value. Money. Money above all else, bitch.
And this is all like working within the system that's already in place.
Yeah.
You know, and then there, and
like, what would it look like if we could get rid of
good old American greed, the world would be a lot better place. If we could just snap our fingers and get rid of greed in the minds of every American man.
Ugh, get rid of the American dream. If you go back to the 50s, the American dream, cut that off.
It's not a thing. It's not a thing. It's never worked. It's never been a thing.
It was literally an ad campaign.
It was a false promise.
It was a false promise that never, I mean, I shouldn't say never worked for anyone. It worked for various people.
Yeah.
Hard work. Yeah. Pulled myself up by my bootstraps.
Did way more damage than it did good.
Yeah. White people with a nice lined pocket, because there are also pockets of really poor white people who got a raw deal and lived in adverse poverty, you know, like just even from my own experience, I remember like just wealth disparity between people who had money and then people who didn't. And then bringing in intersections of race and intersections of connection to opportunity and people whose parents went to university and people who didn't go to university and the sacrifices that were made by those ancestors and those grandparents. And like, you know, it's so much more nuanced in the way the world works, you know, this kind of romantic society of universities and
I wonder how much that's going to change though now, because universities,
I think it's changing.
They are so expensive.
I don't have a degree, and I met
you hooked up
this
with
academic.
You hooked up with this person.
I was sitting here talking, talking shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, come on. Are the fashion hacks going to change the world? We hope so.
And you know what? You probably have less student debt than I do. In fact, I guarantee it.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I do. For sure.
You think?
She had a whole undergrad degree,
the whole
too.
Yeah, you I forget about that all the time.
I got a whole BA before I got the other one. So,
well, I'm counting it as reparations.
There you go.
Hey, man. I'm curious about, like, because of the debt that these young people, myself included, are carrying forward, means that they are not going to be able to have the same buying powers.
Live sustainably within the systems that they live in.
Which means you can't necessarily go and buy those things that are more sustainable.
You can't buy the cleaning products that aren't going to kill the planet. You can't buy your nice bed sheets and your bed that are eco-friendly.
The non-processed foods.
Exactly. You can't buy you can't the expensive cheese instead of your Kraft singles.
Yeah.
Organic fruit and vegetables.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can be poor and educated, and you can be poor and uneducated, and you're still poor.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that you're still in the same...
You're still shopping at Walmart.
Yeah. So I wonder how that sort of vision of higher education, at least for your typical rich white dude, of which there are many. But I think that... I don't know. I'm just curious about how that might change and how that might shift.
It's already changed so much, but then our parents and us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have the same job your whole life.
Yeah.
You don't have a fam. You don't have kids. You don't whatever. Like, you don't own a house
at 24.
Yeah. Those are small incremental changes, but they're in a real direction, and it is away from what it used to be.
I heard something recently that, so for Vancouver, like specifically, is it would take people now 30 years to save up to be able to afford a down payment on a
ten percent or whatever.
So literally, someone right now who is 20 would not be able to afford a down payment until they're 50. At which point, it's like, do I really
want to? And then you spend the rest of your life paying off a mortgage.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then worrying about a house that you have to pay taxes on, and you have to keep
and maintain.
You have to
keep
it.
And that house, in quotation marks, is like, you know, like a shoebox condo.
Yes.
Right.
with no balcony and two windows.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 400
and
square
no community
feet.
Because yeah. all the families are gone. Because yeah. they can't
everyone's
live there
living. Everyone's yeah. living in like a fucking ant trap, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Those damn tube hotels. Those, in
yeah,
Japan.
Exactly. Yeah. Fuck.
No, it's like a very, very different reality.
That's right. How does this connect to fashion? It's so pretty.
Have you been listening, Hanks? Have you been listening?
Paying We're attention. All connected.
It's not about how things are opposed. It's how they're in relation.
They're connected.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Well, that might be a good end to the segment.
Yeah.
Should we take a little break and come back
we'll
and obsess?
Break. Obsession yes. time.
Noise. And we're back. We're trying not to just sit here and talk for too long. As we normally. We can do it without a guest. And when we find a good guest, we can also just sit here and talk about shit forever.
I mean, we easily could.
But we need to press record and we need to get the obsessions because.
TikTok.
TikTok.
That's why. Two words. TikTok.
Yes.
I'm going to
I was
go
say,
first.
Who wants to start?
I will do it. I have been obsessed. There's a long backstory to this, which I don't think we have time to get into, but another time maybe I will. But I, for Christmas last year, wanted a pair of sleep phones, which are a wireless headband.
Oh, sure. That you can
that
sleep
has
in.
Really flat yes. speakers that you can sleep in. I listen to podcasts or, let's be honest, Harry Potter every night before going to bed. And like, it's like a nighttime meditation.
Yeah, bedtime stories are important.
Bedtime stories. It's yeah. the best. I just tune everything out. It helps me sleep. I'm not great at sleeping. I suck at it. I always have been. So having a
so
good story.
Yeah.
So, and cords were always just so annoying. It was like a thing I just dealt with. And you just roll over
you
and
have
switch
options.
Ears
yeah.
and earbuds because you can't lang it because it hurts. And yeah. anyway, so I've heard about these sleep phones. So last Christmas, we do like an open secret Santa. So everyone draws one person out of the hat and then you have a $100 limit and you're only buying one person a gift.
It's so everybody gets something and you only have to shop for one person.
And you only have to shop for one person and you actually get something that you
meaningful.
Like and that you will use.
Yes.
Like people are, it's not frivolous. It's not like, oh, here's a bacon separator for your prize.
No,
it's like,
the no. airport.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like,
thanks.
It's like
a
you
pashmina.
Have one person.
Groundbreaking.
Oh boy. So anyway, so I really wanted these sleep phones. And so I found them. And so my dad, episode 63, Denim Jeans with Dad, go listen, is my favorite episode. My dad got me as the recipient. And I forget who I got. So my husband sent a text to my dad, sleep phones, just the word sleep phones, because my husband knew that this
That's
is what
you
I wanted.
Wanted.
So my husband, Chris is his name, he got my sister, Leslie.
I was going to say, it's confusing because your husband and your dad are both named Chris.
They're both named
oh,
Chris.
Oh, that is confusing.
Let's go with Carter is my
yes,
husband.
There you go.
My
your dad,
dad
is, your
is
dad.
Chris. So anyway, Chris knows that I want, sorry, Carter knows that I want this. Carter knows that I want this.
Yeah.
Carter sends a one-word text to my dad, sleep phones, knowing that my dad has to buy a gift for me.
Yes.
And he's like,
done.
Done.
My job is,
yeah. Now, Chris knows, my dad knows, what Katie wants. We're good. Everything's good. So my dad, without any context, gets this text that says sleep phones. And receives it from Carter, who has to buy a gift for Leslie.
Sister,
like
some,
I forget
sure,
how
yeah.
it all was connected. In any case, it got back to Leslie, who had to buy for Carter sleep phones. So Leslie sends me a text like a week later. She's like, "So this is what Carter wants for Christmas," and it's a link. To the sleep phones.
I was
like,
wanted. Wait a minute.
No. I was like, that's what I wanted for Christmas.
Dummies?
She's like, what? Dad told me.
The Chris
Carter
specifically
wanted sleep
asked for these sleep phones.
And I was like, no, Carter was telling Dad that's what I want, so that Dad would get them for me. And he's like, she's like,
oh
my
boy.
God.
Let's untangle this.
Abort.
Yeah.
Abort.
Start
Everything
over.
It's falling apart. This is a no-go.
Turn it on and off again. Start again.
Start again. So I go to Carter. I'm like, why would you say a text like that with no context? He's like, I don't know. This is what I'm like, oh my God. This is hilarious.
Thank you, but also, no, bad job.
The funniest part of this whole thing is that my brother-in-law, Reggie, has to buy for my mom. My mom also listens to music and stories going every to night. Bed. So Reggie is like, great.
Sleep phones. Nancy, he's
like, everybody's getting sleep phones for you. Everyone got them with me. I was the only one who wanted them. I was the only one who knew about them until all of this circle got just twisted around.
Oh,
this
old man.
I'm not stirred. Anyway, so I was like, fuck that. I'm just buying myself my own pair of sleep phones.
Fuck
so
all
I
y'all.
I did like a month, maybe a month ago, not quite a month ago. And they are the greatest.
Hi, it's June, and you wanted them in December.
In December, I was like, I'm not going to go through this again next Christmas. I'm just going to do it. Pony my money. I can think of something else that I'll want. So I got them. They're the greatest. They last, like, the battery lasts for, like, 8 or 10 hours.
Sweet.
So you just plug them in. They're really flat. There's, like, two little buttons, three,
stop
I guess.
Stop and start or
stop
volume.
Stop and start and a volume. They're the greatest.
Fantastic.
They're soft and fleecy. I might actually take the speakers, like, take the sort of mechanical unit out and make my own headphones so I don't have to keep adjusting them.
Oh,
and just,
sure,
like, make a little slot so I know how they fit.
Yeah.
Highly recommend. If you're not good at sleeping and you listen to stuff.
Good to know.
Because my husband doesn't like listening to stuff at night. So I always have to have the headphones on.
Yeah.
You guys, game changer.
Fantastic.
Just send your dad
with a full sentence.
Maybe it'll come around
Katie
back to you.
She wants sleep month.
Here's the link.
Buy these Katie.
Now.
Yeah. It was hilarious. Anyway, thank you, Dad.
I'm happy you got your sleep on.
They're awesome.
6 months later.
They're great. And my mom loved hers when she had them until they went through the washing machine.
Oh, sorry.
So don't wash them.
Don't wash them. I am so protective of these. I'm like, don't. Where are they?
They're not getting pulled away.
No one gets to use them. Chris had, like, he got to try them once. I was like, That's it. No more.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't get contaminated. If you want them, you get your own text and you send them to yourself.
you text Sadie's sister, who will text your dad, who will text cousin Larry, and then you'll get your own.
Then you'll get your own. Yeah. Anyway, that's my obsession. They are the greatest.
Oh, that's great.
Avon, what about you?
I've been listening to this podcast called This Land. I think it's from Crooked Media. That's what I think. It's coming up in my head as Crooked Media, but I'm not sure. But basically, it's a bit true crime. It's also very historical. It's from an indigenous perspective in the American South somewhere. It's Cherokee territory, and it's about how this one murder case in the town is kind of tearing apart the foundations of whether or not this reserve actually exists.
Is it true crime? Like, is it real?
It's a fully thing that's happening in the Senate, like an American Senate right now. And
oh my God.
And it's fascinating.
Katie's interest.
Oh, yeah, you got me. Yeah,
it's fascinating.
That is, how many episodes? Is it like a serial
six,
style?
Six right now. Yeah.
I'm in.
Six, and they're like 40 minutes long. Yeah.
Eight episodes series to find out how this unique case could result in the largest restoration of tribal land in U.S. history.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Basically, the Senate needs to rule whether or not this man was murdered on tribal land or not, because technically he
then
is.
It would really
because
decide.
Because the country, the U.S., the state doesn't have jurisdiction over legal matters on reservation lands in the United States.
For sure.
It's not the same as Canada. It's different in the U.S.
So federally, they would not have.
They wouldn't have jurisdiction over this murder.
Oh my God! I'm down.
Sweet.
I wrote it down.
And now there's
I subscribe to it.
Yeah, because of enfranchisement and land title swindling and all of this historical stuff that went down. I think it might be the state of Georgia. It's somewhere in the American South, Alabama, Georgia, like that.
Wow.
And
it's intense.
Basically this historical land swindle that has been happening has put this case into jeopardy, and they don't know who has jurisdiction over the case or not because of where the body was discovered and because of police interference and the police not reporting where the body was actually found.
I was
going to
say, police just not doing their jobs.
Wait, what year was the actual murder?
1999, it says.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, it's like pretty recent.
Yeah.
I was thinking this was like
way
like 150 years ago.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No.
All right.
There you go.
I'm in. I'm down.
And it's just been wonderful.
Have you finished it?
Yeah, I'm completely up to date.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are there still episodes going? Like,
I think there's one or two more left. I think I just listened to the sixth episode and you said it was 8-part series, right?
So the details.
And there'll be a second half now because they tabled the decision.
I was going to say, if the case is still happening, then
the Senate, because it was, it's like the Senate needs to decide on it. It's like a Supreme Court matter now.
Oh, sure. So they have to schedule it in. Who knows when?
All my interests are peaked.
It's like Murphy versus the state of Oklahoma. So Murphy is the person who committed the murder.
And then the state of Oklahoma because the one pressing charges.
Now the tribe has the Cherokee Nation has their litigation and they have all of their people who are fighting because this is a land claims issue now.
Yeah.
It's become a land claims issue.
Wow.
And whether or not the reservation borders are gonna be upheld by the state.
Goes all the way to the top.
Yeah. It's wild. And it's fascinating. It's incumbent upon me to understand the situations that my community's living under, not just in this country, but other countries too.
Totally. Cool. Yeah. Do you have an obsession?
I don't have an obsession, but I do have an excitement.
Oh my God, let's hear it.
Mm.
So I'm going to Thailand for the first time this fall.
Oh, exciting.
So I actually am pretty obsessed.
I think this qualifies.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I've never been.
You're just prepping and researching.
But I'm just like prepping and researching and getting real excited for the food and doing some hiking, probably doing
really
some hiking.
Good shopping.
I would like some like weird Thai silk pants. Ooh, like
yes.
I definitely
get some custom made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have that on my list.
How long are you going for?
3 weeks.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Making it count. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, gonna go to some beaches, and I'm super excited to go to some temples, and apparently they have this thing where monks will just, like, hang out outside, and, like, that's, like, part of their practice, just, like, make themselves available so you can, like, go and chat.
Become educated.
Which I'm, like, also kind of looking forward to.
That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Have you been to Thailand? I've never been. Ugh.
Yeah. Did you love it?
Yeah, it was amazing. I never went to the north. I went to Bangkok a few times. My parents lived in Southeast Asia for a while.
Oh, cool.
I lived in Vietnam, so I got to go.
Yeah.
And then we went to Phuket and, like, the beaches, which are now closed because human beings destroyed them.
Yeah.
Like, literally the ones we went to where it's like, nope, they're nobody's left there now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's amazing. The people are amazing. People alone are like, aside from the shopping and the food and the climate and all that great stuff, just the people are alone. They're amazing.
And no, I'm so friggin', like,
it's gonna be great.
So excited about it.
Nice.
Are there monkeys? There's lots of monkeys, aren't there?
Yeah. Katie hates monkeys. Katie's not a monkey person. You can go visit elephants.
That is definitely on my list.
I feel like
they've been like rescued.
Don't touch them. You don't ride them.
You don't ride them. No. They're just like living.
Just feed them a carrot and be on your way.
Yeah, tap they're them just on like the head, feel their weird little hairy heads,
living,
and move on with your life.
Living their lives. Okay. And
or rescued or retired.
No,
or
that's
whatever,
yeah.
Right?
And so, like, I'm definitely doing it. My husband doesn't because he's like, you're paying to work. Basically, the like tour is that you go and you like learn all about it, and then you get to like feed them and like bathe.
Clean up their poop.
Yeah, like clean up their poop and like bathe them. And I'm like, I'm so excited. It's like, yeah, no, I'm not paying like $100 to like work for half a day.
Yes, please.
But
sign
I'm
me up.
Like fully
like,
signed
me up. Yeah, my money. Take my money.
I want to bathe an elephant.
Yeah. If I can help you to not exploit these animals and keep them happy and healthy, take my money, please.
Yeah, so.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, that's good. That's a good chunk of your brain, right?
Yeah.
Prepping for that?
Yeah, sure is.
Shopping for it?
Hacking.
No.
Planning the looks.
Planning out your looks.
I have been planning some looks.
You got it.
Not going to lie.
You got it. Of course. Yeah.
Practical.
Yeah. Well, in vacation wardrobe is totally different than regular wardrobe.
It is.
Yeah. And plus all the other stuff you have to get while you're there too.
Yeah. But you have to have the right look, right? Absolutely. Like you have to have the right outfit.
Do you feel comfortable? Yeah. appropriate for visiting temples and things.
You need a tilly hat. You need the zinc. You need the socks and sandals.
You need a little cargo to fit under your
money
and your passport, right?
Okay, that was not the outfit I said.
but you have a beautiful caftan and a lovely flat sandal. Yeah. Right?
I'm feeling more.
And a couple bathing suits.
A chapeau. Not a chateau, but a chapeau.
Was it not clear that
possibly
I was joking?
Chateau.
I feel like I didn't make that clear. I feel like tilly hat should have been a dead giveaway.
Your Patagonia fleece vest.
Yes.
Tilly hat would make it fashion.
Your safari vest that all the dads wear when they go on vacation. I know because my dad wore one.
Oh, yeah.
So many pockets. He would brag about how many pockets there were.
Oh, my God. The vest.
Didn't carry a bag.
Didn't need a bag.
Yeah. Hands free.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Such a good look. Oh, yeah.
You got to get the bag. The bag is a big part of it.
Of course.
Well, it is for me anyway.
Oh, boy. All right. For me, I have two things. One's real quick. I never heard of this before, and I feel so dumb. Wigstock. I had never heard of Wigstock.
I don't know this.
No.
And there is an HBO documentary called Wig about this festival called Wigstock that happened in the 1990s, put on by Lady Bunny herself.
Mm-hmm.
But putting together a giant music festival and drag festival in New York City. And it happened for many years, and then it stopped, and then they came back in like 2016 or 17. And Lady Bunny's still there. All the old queens are there. All the new queens are there. All the RuPaul girls are there. And it's just this awesome documentary about the people that put it together, the people that go to it, the history of it, who started it. It's a bunch of Stonewall stuff and the history of queer activism in it, and then the history of drag in it, and then just like amazingly entertaining shows. Willem like butt chugs some stuff. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Where did you find it? It's on Netflix?
HBO.
Oh.
But I'm sure it's available on Crave or something else. It's called Wig. It's fantastic. It was very entertaining. My other obsession recently, finding a deodorant.
That's a good one.
Because I've literally been like 3 months now. Because I was off to antiperspirants for a while. Because they're bad for your body. They're bad for your clothes. They're bad for the... there's a bunch of shit they're bad for. But they do the job.
Mm-hmm. They sure
do. They really do the job. And after having kids, my body chemistry changed. And I smell way more than I did before. And it's something I don't enjoy. That's something I want to put out in the world. I know other people are fine with it. I'm not one of those people. So I've been trying to find... So I tried like the secret deodorant. That's not the antiperspirant. No.
That chalky garbage.
Yeah.
It's not like a jelly one. I'm also not a fan of gel ones either.
No.
It's not the same. And I tried Tom's and I tried Jason and I tried Green Beaver. And like, seriously, like, I don't need suggestions, so keep them to yourself. Getting ideas is not the problem. It's spending $8
Yeah.
Or whatever, a time, and then trying to figure out if this works.
Yeah.
Right.
Ugh. So I've just been like, every time I'm like in a store where they sell deodorants, I'm always looking for a different one that I haven't tried before. And I feel so bad because then I have a bunch of unused deodorants, which I try to donate to like shelters and stuff. I like give them a baby wipe and like donate them because I will literally use them for a week and they don't work. Plus summertime too, right? Like I can wear, you can wear deodorant in the wintertime because you're not sweating as much. But in the summertime, like I just like ruined a shirt. Fucking yellow pits. Makes me so mad. So I'm trying. And it's literally like, I think about it all the time. I'm constantly, and like, and then plus like a new deodorant. It's like, yes, you smell different. And it like, it's a whole thing for me. It's been a real journey.
I totally feel you. I used one of those rock things.
Yes, I can't do the pots of things. I don't want the rock.
I didn't mind the rock. And I actually found that it like worked really well for smell. But the thing I can't get behind is I don't like being like dripping.
Yes.
Damp.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes in the summer, like that just happens anyway.
Yeah.
And I know that the antiperspirant is like so bad, but like I hate, especially if you're wearing something nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like silk.
Yeah.
It will show immediately.
Yeah. Like it doesn't feel good to just be like dripping in sweat. Like,
Yeah.
Yes. It's not or to cute. Constantly be aware of
the fact
how that, high your arms are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
also something like, that's like, a, like I've grown in my old age. It's like, yeah. I don't want to have to worry about my clothes, like yeah. adjusting them. I don't want to have to feel like yeah. I have to think about the clothes
yeah.
I'm wearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to have to worry about waistbands or straps or tube, whatever. It's not yeah. happening. If I have to touch it at all during the day, it is not for me.
Yeah.
And armpit is one of those things. Like, do I have to worry if I'm reaching for something that there's going to be some, like, unsavoriness there? And even if no one sees it, I know it's there.
Yeah. yeah.
And it will bug me all day.
Yeah.
So I'm trying. So I tried a new one. What's it called? Island something. I don't know. Some bullshit. And I tried Schmitz for a while. It was great, but then I broke out in a rash after like 6 months.
Oh, no.
So what was it called? Tea tree oil smell. Like, the smell was good. The texture was good. And then I'm like, oh, you don't need a rash in your armpit.
No. No, absolutely not.
That's not a good spot.
Islands, is that what you said it's called?
Yeah.
Island something?
Found it at Bylo. No? Where did I find it?
I love Bylo.
Maybe what's Bylo?
Bylo has some good organic tampons that I like.
Yes, the Natura
or whatever they are. Natural or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, they're good. Those are nice ones.
They are nice.
Anyway, some report back on this one. It's a bergamot and lime, which I'm very into. I'm very much into. So we'll see what happens.
Fingers
crossed. Maybe I need to try the Schmitz Sensitive, which I've also heard good things about that other people don't break out in a rash in. So native, but apparently can't get native here in Canada. Anyway, I've done my research. It's just, I've done the like reading research. Now I need to do like the field research.
Yeah.
And I'm failing.
With your own biochemistry. Yeah.
So I'm like, you'll put this on and it's a perfume. All right.
Do you ever try any of the men's ones?
And then that meat makes me wash my clothes more, which I also try not to do. Yeah. Like, I try not to wash it every time I wear it.
Yeah.
If I can,
but
depending
if it's
on
like
what it
literally
is.
Literally soaked through.
Yeah, at some point.
That's what Dave's like. So I was complaining about it last night. And Dave's like, if you wash your clothes, like, normally you're good. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm old and smelly now. Dave!
It doesn't happen to you.
I don't want to smell, but then I also hate showering every day. So what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Ugh. Life's anyway. Big problems.
Yeah, it's really hard sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really difficult. Anyway, watch wig and then watch me try to find a deodorant. That's my
watch this space.
Watch this space. Yeah.
Watch these two spaces right here. But don't look directly at them because I'm feeling
at
really
all.
Self-conscious. Yeah.
Hyper-wearing.
Oh boy.
Oh, we can end on a laugh. That's a good thing to do. Oh, we are very grateful to Evan for introducing us. It was very exciting. Mm.
Thank you so much for
making your time.
Thank you for having me.
And for just jamming your way in and on an invite. I love it.
Sweet.
Just wave that flag.
That's how I do.
I love that.
Yeah.
Send that DM. Slide into those DMs, baby.
You are our people.
For all the people who listen.
Help us out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Swing that big purse around and make space.
Yeah.
Get those sweaty pits out.
Clear the way. Clear path.
It works really well.
There's a lot to be said about asking.
Yes.
To be on the podcast.
That's true.
Yes,
that
exactly.
is true.
Yes.
Where can people find you and your work? Should we direct them
plug.
There? Let's plug away.
All right. My website, thinktheworlddifferently.com. I can be found at jess@thinktheworlddifferently.com. And then super major plug, I also have done a TED talk.
Oh, watch it today.
Yeah.
Your outfit was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's like chartreuse silk thing. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So watch it.
What was the name of it?
How your clothes can change the planet.
There you go.
Or save the planet.
Save the planet.
How your clothes can save the planet.
Yeah. It was very informative.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it very much.
So that's me.
So we'll link to that on our website, fashionexpodcast.com. We'll also have a bunch of other information on there for you, and we'll link to all that stuff. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We're not great at Twitter. We're not great at Twitter.
We're not great. We have Twitter so that nobody else can have it.
Yeah.
And it's linked to our website.
Yeah.
So exactly. If we post on the website, it posts on our Twitter. Yeah. Tweeter.
Tweeter.
Maybe your Tweeter. Yeah. So you're like super into the Tweeter.
I follow like my husband and like Japanese dog grooming accounts. And that's
important.
I'm going to show you pictures of poodles after blowout.
Yeah.
It's my happy place.
Good stuff.
Just hashtag poodles, hashtag blowout. That's all you need.
That's all you need in life, really.
Oh, boy.
Thanks again, you guys, for listening and joining us in the basement again. You guys, we love you.
But we love fashion more.
It's true.
It's never been truer.
No. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Fashion.